in the juvenile Megalosaurus, chained up at the other end of the drawing room. The notes of the violin, meanwhile, served only to attract its attention and cause it to follow the violinist round the room. It was after learning these facts that you formulated your plan. You planned to remove the beast from confinement using two of your Fenian confederates and train it to attack human beings. The small number of bites inflicted on his serving staff had convinced Challenger that the creature did not seek out human beings as prey. It needed to be taught to do so. And you, Mr. Green, have been teaching it to kill for the last 12 months. And why have you been doing so? Why, in only 1 week's time, His Majesty King George is due to attend an open-air concert at the Parliament Hill Bandstand on the Heath, where the final piece on the programme will be Mr. Spring Rice's inspired lyrics to Thaxted by Gustav Holst. In fact, it is only the final note of that tune that sets off the beast. Am I right? Holmes began whistling the final few bars of Thaxted. The musician's face paled.
Oh, for pity's sake! He exclaimed in a pronounced Dublin brogue. You do not know what you're doing. If you value your life, if you value all our lives, stop!
And Holmes did stop, drawing out that long penultimate note, and laughed. Indeed, he chuckled. How could it be otherwise? We have Professor Challenger's word that you played Holst's Jupiter in the beast's presence without ill effect. Jupiter, of course, would have been safe to practice, for in Jupiter, which is otherwise identical to Thaxted, the final note never resolves. Were you perhaps hoping that the beast would wreak such havoc among the crowd that His Majesty would be trampled? The scarlet-haired Fenian shook his head.
Oh, you do me an injustice, sir. If you'd only troubled to look further into the cast of the orchestra, you would have discovered I was to play the principal trombone. I intended to place myself directly before the monarch of your despicable island, blowing my horn for all I was worth. The beast would surely have taken the ermine-laden buffoon after it had finished with me.
Holmes nodded. I see you are a man of courage, if a misguided one. I am offering you an honourable way out. He extended a hand, proffering the trombone. The Irishman nodded sadly and accepted it. Holmes picked up the untouched pint of ale he had been nursing since we arrived and held it up as well. A last drink for a condemned man? Green accepted the pint and drained it with gusto. Then he turned round to the assembled police officers and cried,
Fianna Fáil!
Before striding out through the inn doors into the white murk. We saw no more of him, but heard, droning in from without, the clear, calm notes of that timeless patriotic hymn, which, I became more acutely aware than ever before, apply to any country, any king, and more especially to that great country we all hope to become citizens of upon our end. Then suddenly there was a great thundering crash, and a hideous roaring, and the notes of the trombone ceased as the instrument itself was flung out of the fog, bent double, towards the window where we sat.
Gods, what a beast! It will take a troop of soldiers with an artillery piece to kill it.
I think not, said Holmes. That pint of ale contained enough strychnine to kill 10 elephants. Now, I believe there is time for me to consume another less dangerous pint before we repair to the bandstand, where I believe the local brass ensemble is currently setting up to practice. I fancy I could stand to hear that tune again. And he clicked his fingers for the barman to bring him another beer. Sherlock Holmes and the Adventure of the Lost World was written by Dominic Green and read by Andrew Sachs. It was directed and produced by